few years back. You know, for me personally, I can say that I came into Narcotics Anonymous about 5 years ago. And I had just come back off a relapse, and I met this person. And since then, this relationship has grown. And it's only through people that I sponsor and through people that I've known inside Narcotics Anonymous. I can say about this person that she's attended every year of this retreat. And you know, when May City came up, of course I got to put my influence in. I voted for this person. And you know, she gives a message that's like none other. Because every time I hear, I get something more out of her. And without any more, I'm going to give you Roberta from Turn the Page Group.
They brought this up for me, the high school. But you know what? I qualified for this. Oh, man. I got butterflies in my stomach. First of all, I'm an addict. My name's Roberta. That's it. I can only sit still for 60 minutes. I'll tell you the truth. So I know you guys, so I'm going to try to, you know, get through this, because I know you're all like me. 60 minutes, that's it for me. A meeting is 60 minutes long, you know, and I start getting antsy. I start sighing out loud when people go over 60 minutes. I start commenting, giving them feedback out loud. And but anyways, for real, this is really an honor. You know, it has been beautiful, and it's really through happenings, events in my life, through recovery. I've met some beautiful people, and this area up here is one of the best. It's been really nice. It's been such a gift to see it get like this, and just being a tiny little part of knowing some people and getting to know more people and coming up and watching this. You know what? God is good. God is good. And we prayed out there in the hallway, about five or six of us before the meeting. And you know what? I just feel so blessed that I can feel my higher power in my life today. I know why I'm here. I know what I need to do to stay here, and through the grace of God, I'm going to keep doing it. You know, I want to die clean, and I want to die peaceful, you know, peacefully. There was a time when that would not have, that was out the question. I wanted to go out like a bang, like Bonnie and Clyde. I really did, you know, I wanted to go out, make headlines, you know, blood and guts and glory and thorough. She was thorough to the end. You know, I wanted to go out like that. And today I want to, like, die peacefully in my sleep. You know, and nice clean sheets and, you know, my clean, you know, clean house and, you know, just peacefully. My bills paid. I don't want to leave no mess. And, you know, I have an insurance policy, so I don't want to leave nobody have to pay for anything when I go. And my life is so different today as a result of God in this program. I really am honored to be here. I really am honored. I've never done this, you know. And, I don't even want to say that word anymore. I just had a little bot with that N-word, never, you know. But really, it's an honor, and I feel gracious. I just feel so honored to be here to do this. I wish this wasn't up on this thing, though. I kind of wish it was down there. I love recovery. It didn't show me a way back to life. It showed me how to live. It gave me a life. I really didn't have one before I was blessed with surrender and before I was dropped into this program. I didn't have a life. I was existing. I had no idea how to live. No one ever taught me or showed me or, you know, guided me through life. I had to pretend I knew from day one. And I became the great pretender. I act like I knew. And I have to be careful of that today. You know, I'll act like I know, and I don't. And I just always had a yearn for bad. You know, I always had a yearn for bad. I wanted to be bad. I liked bad. And I couldn't get with, like, the good things in life. I felt less than. The ones in the book were either better than or less than. And I was the less than. And I acted accordingly. I acted according to how I felt. And I felt less than. So I went and sought less than. And I found it. I would have done good in school had I participated, but I didn't participate. I'd sit in the back room, look out the window, think about what I was missing out there, and just act it up. You know, I just acted up. I was a class clown, got a lot of attention like that, thought I didn't belong in my house. You know, I was told a lot of things, messages when I was young, and there's love there. You know, through this program, there's love with me and my family, and especially me and my mother today. But she didn't have a program, and she had some stuff going on, but I used to get messages of, you were a mistake, I wasn't supposed to have you. Everybody else was grown. I had to quit my job as a school guard to have you. Her kids, other kids were grown a little, and she got her first job as a school guard, and she had to quit, and she had me. And I got the brunt of that anger and the brunt of that resentment. And when I wrote my fourth and fifth step, by the way, I wouldn't be here today without one. No way. And man, it opened up a whole can of worms, and stuff just started oozing out, and it was all shame and guilt way before I picked up a chemical, because I thought I ruined people's lives. From the time I was this big, I felt like I was responsible for the ruining of people's lives, and I didn't know that. And without a God, and without the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, and a sponsor to guide me through that, and a home group, and you people, I would have never known that. And that opened up a can of worms. And I thank God. I thank God. And that's what they mean when they're talking about the exact nature here. I had no idea that was in there. I'm grateful that I didn't procrastinate with the steps. I'm grateful that there were people here before me that showed me how to do it. Because like I said, I'm a great pretender, and I'm glad I didn't come in here and start pretending like I knew how to do this. I came in so beat up, I couldn't talk when I got here. My vocabulary was, who got it, what's it like, and let's go. That was it. That was the extent of it. And God, me and Walt was friends for years. I don't think we ever had a conversation. I mean, we haven't had a conversation. We never had a conversation until we got to Narcotics Anonymous. I mean, this program's so awesome. You know, we pray together today. And we're running partners out there. I mean, it was bad with him. It was bad. And, you know, I've gotten so many gifts in this program. My best friend here, Cindy, I picked up when I was 11, as a friend puts it, on a professional basis. And I picked up every day after that, till the day that I was thrown to my knees in a cell. And I said the most powerful prayer I could ever say was, help me, whoever you are, help me. And it came. And you know, I hear that recurring theme in here among people. You know, I listen, and people that happens to, and that desperation and that prayer, whoever you are, help me. There it is. You know, I love hearing the story from after then on then. You know what I mean? There it is. And that's what happened to me. My addiction was not pretty. There was not one cute day in it. I had spikes in my groin, spikes in my pulses. Sometimes if it was hot pink blood, I ran it anyway. I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, I was so desperate and angry. I couldn't get high no more. Methadone programs, leaving state. Getting thrown out of trucks down in the swamps of Lake Okeechobee, Alligator Alley. I was thrown out of a truck down there. I've been beaten up numerous times. And let me add this. I was not a victim. Okay? Let's get that like perfectly clear. I could provoke the worst in you. Believe me. I was acting according to how I felt. I was so twisted and turned and flipped upside down and angry and resentful, and stuff wasn't turning out the way I planned it. You were supposed to set me up in some big crib on the beach with a pile of dope, and you were going to go to work and take care of me, and you were going to, you know, put nice clothes on my back and jewels, and you were going to just feed me dope, and I might make a dinner for you. I mean, that's what I thought was supposed to happen. They say this is a disease of distortion. I believe it now. They made me a believer. I believe it. You know, I can go there today. I like the fantasy part. Oh, and today I know when I'm doing it. I go in my tub 2-3 hours. I'm not kidding. I lay a hot rag over my face and I go to La La Land. It's a choice. I picture the place I go and everything. I mean, I can smell it and everything. And I lay in there. But I know I'm going there today. And I know I need to come back. So I start using and it was over. I was washed up at 14. I had a baby. Didn't know how that happened. How about that? But no, for real, that's how my coping skills were. I didn't know. I didn't know you could get pregnant. I didn't know, like, none of it. I pretended I knew. I liked him. They told me, he's a bad boy, don't go near him. I walked down Butler Street, he ran past me, rubbed a popsicle across my neck. I caught a whiff of him, he smelled good. Snuck them in my mother's house up to the attic. I wondered what the smell was. It was lacquer. He huffed. He's always walking around like this, huffing, eyes all rolled up in his head, you know. And I got pregnant. I was 13, going on 14. I got pregnant first time. And I thought I knew it all. I thought I knew. I thought I had it going on. I thought I know how to. I'm A. But, God, I didn't know all this was going to come out. So anyway, my skirt started getting bigger because I was in a Catholic all-girl high school. I just started in September. Didn't want to go there. I wanted to go to Shenley. But they figured that would straighten me out, okay? Funny, all the girls that went there, it was up in Garfield. All the girls that went there wound up strung out, in the penitentiary. You know what I mean? We all were like crazy. Dead. A lot of them are dead now. Then my mother had to start letting my skirt out. So I started taking BAMs. Because I said, I'm gaining weight. You know, I always like Donna's, but I said, I'll better take some of them. I need to take some of this weight off. But anyway, in long story short, I found out I was pregnant. You know, my first thought was, I don't have to go back to school. Yay! I was like, yay! And I pictured a little doll I dressed up. and put little shoes on, and he was dressed real hip too back then. We dress him and take him out in a stroller, and then he'd start getting in the way, start becoming an obstacle. Man, when I got clean, there was so much damage in that relationship. There was so much damage there. He hated me, and I understood it. I understood it, and I wanted to try to clean that up real fast, and you told me that's still selfish. He's entitled to that, he's entitled to that. And you need to pray and turn it over to God. And I did. Every day I prayed and I turned it over. I said, you got this one, because if I put my hands in it, it's going to get worse. And I waited on God. And 7 years into my recovery, he started to come to me. And it was really cool last year. He got married. He's 28 years old. He's a police officer. And his father was always in the penitentiary. I was on the street. My mother raised him. My dad was there the first, 5 years. And my dad passed. And he's good. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. And we're real close today. We're very close today. And at the wedding last year was the first time that I honestly felt it. He was proud of me. He was proud of me. He took me around. This is my mother. He said, Ma, all my buddies said, you look like Stevie Nicks. I had a lace dress on. They said, that's cool, man. Your mother looks like you. But anyway, it was so nice. It was really nice. And that's only because of this program. And not only because of this program, first and foremost, it's because I've been blessed with a God, an understanding of a God that I turn each day over to, a God that lets me take it back, a God that lets me have fun with this, a God that lets me make mistakes here, a God that's letting me get out of beating myself up. I don't do it no more. I enjoy my mistakes. I enjoy my lessons. I enjoy this whole ride. It's like the ride of my life. And every day I put the strap on and sit in and I go with it. And it's like this. And then sometimes it's like this. It's just, it's all good. And through the steps, I've been able to not become emotionally involved in my problems today. And that feels really good. I have such freedom today. I wind up at the end of my using in a cell where most of us wind up at. They came through the door, the task force. I had tried Narcotics Anonymous once in a blue moon. Something was here. It was comforting. I came to get notes signed. I came to get a job. I came to get some money off you. I came for all kinds of reasons. I came here. I came here to get you to go to court with me. I came here for you to talk to somebody so when I went to court something might happen. I came here for every reason that we come here for. And guess what? Every one of them was the right reason. Every one of them was the right reason. Because my pea brain could not comprehend the whole picture. It couldn't. I was in that hip split, I got this, I'll get them, they'll do this, they'll do that, I'll get them to go here and get that one to go get that for me, and go, you go do this. And I was in that, and you know what? You let me believe it. You let me believe it. You kept hugging me and said, keep coming back, we love you. Keep coming back, we love you, keep coming back. And I kept using. I just couldn't get it together. I kept using, and there were some people here. Oh, my God, I gave them the blues. Dot Sally, D. Howe, Billy Newmont. I mean, they were so attractive to me. They were just so attractive. And I remember hearing D. on Center Avenue and talking about the blood bath, trying to get that in. And something happened to me in here. When I realized there was somebody, my God, this beautiful woman's up there, and she's smiling, and her hair's made, and she's clean, and she's beautiful, and she's a counselor over where I go drink that juice, and she's like, I mean, she just, and she starts talking my language. And she was talking language of the heart. And that's where it went. It went right to mine. And that's why I know qualification is one of the most important things I do here. Because that's the only language I understood when I come in. Qualifying. I didn't know powerlessness and prayer and meditation. And my, you said the God word. My head spun like the exorcist. It did. I'll never forget it. It was a Monday night Squirrel Hill meeting. Mickey McGuire took me. Somebody said, God, I like him. It was like venom. It was like they were throwing that holy water on some poison stuff. And blisters start breaking out on me. And I mean, that's evil. There's some evil stuff that goes on when I got there. And that's what happened to me. I like got like obnoxious and started, spitting it back and, you know, fighting with you. And I walked out and said, that's it. That's it. They're a cult. I don't identify with that because I couldn't identify with God. But I identified with her blood bath. And that was the only thing that I heard out of that lead. But what I saw her up there, that was the message. And I knew after that, I never had to live that way again. But I tried. And I tried to convince myself, you're different, you're this. I tried to convince myself. I pulled everyone out of the bag. None of them worked. None of them worked. It always got worse. The end of the road, the task force kicked the door in. We all went. I got out the next day, went right back to the house, climbed in over the mess. Somebody hid a bundle under a chair. I knew it like an animal. I've lived in abandoned buildings across the country. I live the animalistic level. It's one of my favorite paragraphs in the book, and he was an addict. The capacity to feel human was lost. The animalistic level. Many of us have been in this state. I was one of the ones in that state. I didn't care about you. I didn't care about my son. I didn't care about my mother. I didn't care about nobody. Somebody today, I heard him right there talking about getting on the floor and crawling across mom's floor when she's sleeping. I used to count her breath and move. And I kept that book to this, to that, to this. She was the poor woman. I mean, I tortured her. She was the last one to let go. She was the last one. Man, the last time I went in the house, the last time that I went in their house, her and my son's house, he sucker punched me and said, don't ever come back here. We don't want to see you no more. Man, I felt like so low. I just felt so low. And I didn't know what to do. Here's how twisted this had me. This is so distorted, this thing, and I'm not talking about with a chemical in me. If I'm not working the steps, and I don't have a sponsor as a guide, and I don't have a home group, and I'm not giving this back in one form or another, and I'm not participating in Narcotics Anonymous, my reality is distorted today. This is one of the examples. I watered a plastic plant for a year while I was on methadone. For a year. Lived in a crooked house. I thought it was straight. It was a slanted house. I used to go out in the morning, me and my husband, who he was one of them ones that just a dope fiend little, he was slimy. Now, I was slimy. He was real slimy. He'd thumb a cigarette off you. You'd give him a cigarette, he'd put one in this ear, one in this ear, and one in his mouth. Boy. But I used to water them and then sit on the porch and wait for the meth bus to come pick us up. Because they start sending the meth bus because they gave us bus passes, we sold them. So they sent a little methadone bus around and it would pick us up. I'd water their plants every day. I'd take them out to the porch, position them to the sun, spray them, sit down with my quartz, eat my 10 blue Valiums, and wait for the meth bus. 8 o'clock in the morning. That's distorted. But see, I can go there today. I can go there today. You told me don't pick up the first one. Come through my head. You said this. Don't use the third day. I tried it. I kept trying it up. It is. It's insanity. Thank God we can laugh at it. It's insanity. My wedding day. My wedding day. We took a jitney to Larmer Avenue, Magistrate Kid. Had a bottle of Dilaudid. And my mother and them, they're not too far from me without that chemical. They had a homemade cake. Congratulations at last. Because she always said, just get a nice guy. Just get married. Just get married, you'll be okay. So I come back from a road trip one time and we're all up in this house. Ooh, I thought I lost something. We're all up in this house and everybody's And I looked at him, I said, I can't do this no more. I said, I can't do this no more. I'm tired, I can't do it no more. Everyone's looking for me, I can't boost, I can't rob drugstores no more, I can't cash grips, I can't take meat out of Giant Eagle no more. Let's get married. Pictures from that pitiful. It's pitiful. I look at it, sometimes I laugh, sometimes I cry. I go, this is so sad. It's sad. It's sad. No prom, no high school, no a GED I got in female offenders. I don't remember nothing. I never did nothing. Never did nothing. The end of the road, the task force came in, blah, blah, blah. I came to an end. I go to jail. I'm tired. Now I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. The last 10 years of using, I didn't get high. I didn't get high. It was a jolt of misery and pain. I hated it. I hated it. 36 in a gas station bathroom. They were just laying in the glass. I didn't care anymore. I was full of fear and paranoia. I wound up in this, look, they arrested me, I said like this, thank you, thanks, I'm done, I need a break, I don't know how to stop, I can't stop. So we got to go to this cell, grab the mattress, pull it off, you know, no, I'm going to be sick, no, I ain't been feeling it for 10 years, but no, I'm going to be sick. We always got sick, even though you didn't feel it, you got sick. It was the worst withdrawal I ever had. Off of heroin. It was a hard 2-week withdrawal, the hardest I ever had. It was progressing. He told me progressing. I'm laying in there and I said, I'm crazy. You're out of your mind. You are insane. You're insane. You can't get that program. You can't get it. You're one of them ones that's not going to get it. You can't not walk out this jail and stay clean. You ain't gonna do it. You're out of your mind. You're insane. The guilt, the remorse, the shame, the fear, it was all there now. And I said, what do you do? Okay, I know it all, right? What do? I'm answering my question. You hang up. Okay, yeah, that sounds good. I think I will. I laid back like with my hands like this, my feet up on the wall, and it was a relief. It was the first decision I had made in a long time. A long time. Dope had been making my decisions for me forever. I said, that's a way out. I thought that was the only way out. That's how distorted it had me. And I've seen people in this program see that clean. That's the only thing they see is that way out. Okay? It's kind of baffling and powerful. So it had me convinced. And the next thing you know, out of the clear blue sky, I heard a guy from in here. He tried to help me over and over and over and over and over again. And I heard his voice, and he had a real calming voice. He talked like a little gangster. And I loved him. And he said, you don't ever have to live that way again. Don't take the first one. And I heard it like he was right next to me. And something lifted me up off that cot, and that's when I got down, and I said, whoever you are, help me. And it came. It tells us, some of us get it suddenly, some of us get it subtly, some of us get it slowly, but we're all going to get it if we work for it, if we want it, if we work for it, if we show up, if we work the steps. Mine came sudden. I guess he said I've been throwing her lugs for 15 years now, bang her off the head. A wave of peace came over me like I didn't know what peace was. I never had peace. It was always chaos stirring in me, confusion stirring in me, resentment stirring in me, anger. It was all gone. A wave of peace came over me, and in a matter of milliseconds, I knew I was an addict, I knew I needed Narcotics Anonymous, and I knew I was going to be all right. And first and foremost, I knew I needed to do that every morning. Whatever that was, I needed to do that every morning. I start doing that every morning and every night. Every morning, every night. I found a prayer, and I didn't know what it was, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper because I didn't know any prayers. And I'd get on my knees every night, and I'd say this prayer on my knees. I later found it to be a third-step prayer. I still say it today. It was a third-step prayer. Things started happening for me real fast. Real fast. Eventually, I came home. I went through a crazy little stunt there with, cardboard, in between being locked up, cardboard signs, humiliating myself, getting humiliated, getting called every kind of name in them places. I got out, and I had a sponsor when I got out, and I had a home group that day. I ran to a meeting, Garfield meeting. Monday night Garfield meeting. I ran up there. I got a key tag. I was past a year, but I ran up and got my tag. There was a woman in there that I used to rob gas stations with, and I asked her to sponsor me because the other woman that I was trying to keep in touch with from in there, I couldn't get a hold of her anymore. She said she quit coming to me. So, and the next thing I asked her was, what are these steps? What are the steps? Something I knew through that prayer, something guided me to her and asked that question, because I wouldn't have known to ask that question. I wouldn't have known that. So that's how my priorities are today. I know God first, you next, me, and then everything else falls into place the way it's supposed to. But we start working the steps. I got busy. I wrote out my first three steps, got together with her. We went to this little place. We knelt on. We brought God in it. I read it to her. Surrender, what it is for me. Surrender, I need you. First one, don't pick up. Second step, the program. Get involved, get in the middle, pick up the book, go to meetings. I was running to 5-6 meetings a day. I was with you all day long. I didn't know how to work. I never worked, so work wasn't a problem. Someone had the audacity to ask me, when are you going to get a job? I said, a job? I never in my life knew how to stay clean. Give me a break. You know what I mean? Welfare was available then, and now, hey, I was already on it for 17 years. What's another year or two going to make? You know what I mean? So I ran the meetings, and it was a blessing. My we is so huge today as a result of that. I was in every neighborhood. We went everywhere. And just the things that I was hearing and listening and taking in and learning how to live and learning how to not pick up and learning how to do this. And it's been beautiful ever since. My life is so good today. I still have that enthusiasm for recovery. I don't like to say hate, But it cringes me when I hear people say enjoy it while it lasts. I'm still enjoying it. It's never left. You know, everybody wants to rain on someone else's parade. If yours hasn't lasted, go try to figure out how to get it back. Don't be dampering anyone else's. You know what I mean? God told me it never has to leave. And it hasn't yet. It hasn't. I am as excited about this as I have been from day one. This is my life. This is my life. All my people are here. This program has taught me how to be a friend, how to be a mother, how to be a daughter. Take my mother every year on vacation with us. Every year I say, I'm not taking her next year. That's it. She's out. And every year I wind up taking her again. We all go. We go in groups. I remember going down to the penitentiary, and one of my friends that always is in there, he said, one thing about you people, he said, you always travel in groups. You know, and I love it. Everything I do is in a group. It's always a group around me, and I love it. I just love it. I love it. I didn't know how to talk when I got here, never had no school, never had no job, was ousted. My family hate, they didn't want me near them. They didn't want me near them. That's all changed today. I'm a mother to my son. I'm a daughter to my mother. I'm a sister to my brothers and sisters. I'm a friend to a friend. Friend to a friend. I know how to show up today. I work. I've been working 2 years. Everything I've ever gotten, I've gotten in Narcotics Anonymous. 2 years clean, I'm sitting in a meeting. I was cleaning houses. You started to let me clean your house. You gave me keys. That's a good thing, though, to just... I don't hear women doing that to me. I don't know. But anyway, we used to do that a lot. Clean houses. And the people in the program would, you know, give us the key. And I mean, what a thing. What a thing. I had a bag of rags and a bag of cleaning stuff, and I'd walk and go clean these houses. Then go hit me, and I'd put the music on, make coffee, clean your house. And then I was sitting in a meeting, and a woman came up to me and said, we're opening up a treatment center for addicted women and children. We think you'd do good there. I'll never forget, I was up Monday afternoon Garfield meeting. I used to love that meeting. And I said, I can't do that. I can't do that. I was scared. Fear invades me today. The first thing I want to do is run. It's the motivator for everything. It's behind all my stuff today, fear. I said, I can't do that. You guys up at the meeting, go ahead, go up, just. Anyways, I got it. I've been working in it for 12 years, almost 12 years now. I've been working in treatment. The past couple of years, I've been working with men coming out of the penitentiary. Hey, I don't know how that, well, really, look, that was a lot of my thing. Like, you know, that was a lot of my thing, and God put me right where I need to be. Now, up until recently, I've been very boundary-oriented, you know, like, and very good, and it's kind of fun. You go here, shut up, sit down, I love it. You know what I mean? Like, I love it. Get over here, everybody sit down, be in the meeting, 10 to 10, we're leaving right after. I mean, I love it. Meet controlling men. Everything's a journey, though. I mean, this is, and I've been humbled lately. There's been, you know, I've been humbled. I was always, there has been a side of me that you can always get, except for my friends. Except for my friends. If you was my friend first, you got in there. But there was other people that didn't, and there's only really a handful of the people that have been in there, and they know who they are. And I'm so far, I've been called cold, ice, you know, and I had to be. Where I came from, the world that I created for myself, I had to be. And lately, I have gotten humbled. I mean, humbled. And I was afraid of this.
And I even don't want to say it. Like, I don't want you to know it. Like, I want to dust the pen and say, because somebody said, you're getting soft. And I said, no. Don't say it, please. But I was always so afraid of that. And I didn't know this till recently. It's just constant revealing here. A process. And we just got to love people through it. You can't tell them it's there. And you can't tell them it's coming. And just with sharing, like me and Tim would go visit a friend of ours, and we start talking about this stuff lately. It's wild. All I got to do is show up. Say the prayer, show up, be of service, and everything I need is given to me. Everything I need. We were hanging out a little while ago talking about these fears. Then all of a sudden, mine start coming. So I feel all right because I know he just had them. And we're talking about this stuff and talking about relationships and talking about all that, everything we do. And it's all working out. Like, I'm not afraid of it today. You know, I'm not afraid of it. You know, I just didn't know how to live when I got here. You know, I really didn't know how to live. I did not know how to interact. I did not know how to be appropriate in appropriate situations. I did not know how to talk. I heard a woman today, she stole for the first 8 months or whatever. I stole for my first year. And this is how crazy I was. It started bothering me so bad, it was air fresheners. And it bothered me so bad. She was sharing about it today. My conscience bothered me so bad that I made a lookout at my job. She's my sponsor, too. I made her look out for me while I snuck it back. I mean, I stole it and snuck it out. Then I had to sneak it back. And then she left because her shift was over, and I was sitting there all night with the air fresheners up there. And I, by the morning time, I went like this, oh, F it, I'm taking them. They're just air fresheners, lighten up. What's this thing doing to you, you know? But, God, you know, drama and crisis. And, you know, I'm not as wrapped up in the drama, the crisis. It's like everything is everything. And I am right where I'm supposed to be on any given day. I know that the only insanity for me in the second step would be to not use a sponsor, to not be showing up at my home group, to blow off my ace and eyes, to not reach out to the newcomer. That's the only big mistakes I can make today. The rest of them is learning how to live. And I'm enjoying every minute of it. It's been really good. I'm glad it's over. I didn't really try nothing. I don't know. I always say I'm not going to talk a whole lot about the past. But then again, I guess I needed to hear what I said about Dee, because when I talk about it, I remember and I feel where I came from. And I was taught that if you forget where you came from, you're going to relive it. And through the grace of God, I have not yet forgot where I came from. Real quick, I was taught when I come in here, people, teachers, they took never out of the vocabulary, and they taught me, when they were teaching me how to talk, they said, replace that word with yet. So for about the first 8 years, I did. Yet. I haven't done it yet. It kept me not judging. It kept me even with everybody. Haven't done it yet. Haven't done it yet. Haven't done it yet. The past 2 weeks, I eliminated three nevers, okay? I look back on it, I said, where'd this come from? Around 8 years clean, I start saying never again. And here's what I learned from that. This is what I would have did a few years ago. I'd have beat myself up. I'd have ran around, and here's another thing I would always do. I'm big on telling it in meetings.
Just tell on myself everything I did because I want you to see that I'm bad. I feel bad. And I wanted to let you all know that I'm bad. And it ain't even about that today. I look back and I saw that when I started to say that word, never, it was ego. It's ego. Ego, edging God out. And that's what I learned from this. And you know what? It wasn't a drama. My head wanted to go make it a drama. I need to tell everybody and I need to put this out there. And there's a little bit of risk, but that, you know, I don't even care now. I don't even care anymore. It doesn't even matter anymore. But the lesson that I got from there was how subtle ego started to come in. And it was with the word I was using. So, I haven't smoked crack yet. Okay? Yet. I dreamt of it. I had it down to a science, too. Never saw it. Had it down to a science. Woke up, first thing I told myself, I ain't telling nobody. I don't want to give up my 8 to 9 commitment. Recovery has been so good to me. I hope I don't ever say no to this program. If I do, there's enough people in my life that I always let them know, tell me. You see me doing something, you have my permission. Tell me. And I just feel blessed to be here, and thanks for listening.